In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to our program, The Word of Life. And let's continue the commentaries on St. Mark's Gospel. We reached the chapter of the coming of the Son of Man and the signs of the late days. 13th verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. After giving us many signs before the coming of our Lord Christ on the clouds, he mentioned that the late signs will be the signs of nature. The sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars and powers of heaven will be shaken. This means that the earth is going to fade away, and now we are going to start the kingdom of heaven with the appearance of the Lord Christ on the cloud. Some of the forefathers mentioned that this kind of darkening the sun and the moon and the shaking of the stars mean that some of the saints may fall down away from the spiritual life. But let's take it literally that these natural signs will be given before the coming of the Son of Man. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of earth to the farthest part of heaven. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds. We had this promise, and this promise was repeated many times in the words of our Lord Christ, that he will come and everyone will see him clearly by eyes. And you know, nowadays we have many deviations in this doctrine of the coming of Christ. Some believe that Christ may come but no one will see him. Others may believe that he will come on many times and he will live on earth again. These deviations from the orthodox doctrine are against these words of the Lord. He mentioned that he will come only once and only on the clouds, so he will never walk again on our land. And everyone will see him on the clouds, and this will happen with the last minute of the earth and heaven, this earth we can see. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect. So the coming of Christ is the same minute of judgment. The day of judgment is the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. His elect from the four winds. This means that God has his people from all the earth, from all nations, all countries, all over the world. He will have his people from all tongues and languages, from the farthest part of earth to the farthest part of heaven. This means that we will see on this day many people unexpectedly, they love Christ and they believe in him and they live their life waiting for his coming. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch had already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. You know, the fig tree was a common parable for many things. Remember when the Lord cursed the fig tree because it lacks fruits. And it simplified the idea of the Jewish people who knew Christ for long, but they couldn't give out fruits. They did not live the holy life he asked them to live. But here the fig tree stands for another meaning, that because they can see the summer marks the summer coming from the trees. Exactly, they can see the signs of the late of the coming of the Lord Christ. His coming is clearly seen because of the signs. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening now, that's near at the doors. Some of the forefathers mentioned that this fig tree, which was always simplifying the idea of the old people of God, the old people of the Old Testament, this means that the Jew will come back to Christ before his coming on the clouds. So you also, when you see the things happening, know that it's near at the doors. So when we see some natural disasters around and some persecutions in some areas, persecution against Christians, and when we see that the Bible is already spread everywhere, we should expect the near coming of the Lord Christ. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. So Christ promised that all what he said, all the signs he mentioned, will be seen clearly before his coming. And this generation stands for all human race, that the generation we are living and the other generations coming, they all waiting for the coming of the Lord Christ on the cloud. The generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So earth and heaven, the earth we see and the heaven we see, will pass away, but there will be another kind of heaven and earth. We will live in the kingdom of heaven. But you know, the word of God will stand still for eternity. So the promises of the Lord Christ will definitely stay for long. And you know, this verse is an answer for those who believe that the word of the Bible may be misused or abused, or the verses of the Bible might have some kind of change, but this promise from the Lord say that there is no way that the word of God is changing. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And you know, this comment of the Lord Christ in the last in part of the chapter, he mentioned that nobody knows exactly the exact hour of his coming. He mentioned the angels, any human being, and even himself. So he considered himself as any of the human beings, because Christ is not only God but also man. So being a human being, he said that even himself does not know the exact hour. But because of his divine nature, he mentioned many signs which declare that he knew the exact hour, but he will never reveal this hour, because being a human being, being a man like others, this knowledge is not for men. This knowledge is not revealed or declared to any human being. Because, as you know, if we know exactly the hour, we will not repent now. We will just try to repent before the coming of this hour. But actually, when we expect this hour coming any time, we will live our life watching and waiting and repenting all the time. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. You know, when he mentioned that only the Father, he had the same knowledge like his Father, as mentioned in the Gospel of St. John, all what belongs to the Father belongs to me. and I am in my Father and He is in me. So, you know, by mentioning that the Father knows everything, it means that Christ Himself also, in His divine nature, knows everything. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. So, the importance of not knowing the exact hour is to stay watching and praying all the time. It's like man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. So he gave another parable, like a master having his servants watching for his coming. He gave them responsibilities, some duties to do, and they were doing their efforts, watching him to come, and he might come any time, late in at night or early in the morning, crowing of the rooster. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So this commandment of watching means be ready always to see Christ on the cloud. Be ready always to go out of this life and start your eternal life. Be ready always to give account on your life, your personal life and your service and your duties all through the days you lived on earth. So again, Christ is commanding us just watch and stay against sleeping. You know, the meaning of sleeping, not the physical sleeping, because we have to sleep for some time, but the state of sleeping means spiritually that you do not care for your eternal life. You're just sleeping and forgetting about your repentance, your faith, the promises of the Lord and the commandments of the Bible. You are just like sleeping. The chapter number 14. After 2 days it was the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread. You know, Jews had three major feasts, and the Passover was one of these three. And the feast of the Passover was also named the feast of unleavened bread, because, as some of you know, they start the feast with the Passover day, and then they spent full week, 7 days, with unleavened bread, as if, as St. Paul mentioned in one of his letters, that we, after the resurrection of our Lord Christ, let's live the life of unleavened bread, the pure life, because, you know, this kind of bread stands for the pure life and the life which has no sin. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, let there be an uproar of the people. So they were trying to kill him, to get rid of the Lord, but they thought that during the feast people will be in 100,000s, so they cannot kill him because people love Christ. So they preferred to postpone this conspiracy and make it after the feast. But because God was planning to die in the Passover, just to put the prophecy just on time, so even their thinking was not correct. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, and he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. You all know this common story, and it happened in the holy week before his crucifixion. And he was in Bethany, nearby the house of Lazarus and his sisters. Now he was in the house of Simon the leper. Mentioning the leper, that means that most probably this Simon was a leper and Christ cured him. So he made this this table for Christ as kind of appreciation. He sat at the table. A woman came having this alabaster flask with this costly oil, and she broke the flask and poured it on his head. You know, this silent woman, the book of Saint Mark did not mention the name of this woman. In another gospel, they mentioned it. She was Mariam, the sister of Lazarus. Some of the forefathers mentioned that these stories are different. It might happen more than once during this Holy Week. And this kind of common expression of love in these days that women cannot express by words or by acts, they may express by gifts their love to Christ. So she went and bought such an a costly oil and she poured it on his head. Remember the psalm given by David, that when we pray together as members in the body of Christ, it's kind of pouring down a costly oil on the head of the Lord himself. So we are pleasing God by this costly oil, which stands for two main items: praying with love. When we pray with love, as if we are putting this oil on the head of our Master Lord Jesus Christ. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted?" Even the apostles and some of these people sitting beside Christ, they thought only of the money, of the cost of this fragrance, and they did not consider the love behind this act. Actually, our Lord Christ never appreciate the value of money, but always consider the value of love. So this woman was giving her love in such a simple action, but the people did not like the act. Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. Saint Mark mentioned the value, which is 300 denarii, and they considered this sum of money is very big one. So as if they cannot say that this kind of giving money in a fragrance is just waste, but they put it in a way which might be accepted by the Lord. It might be given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always." So actually, the Lord himself, he defended her action. And he said that, you know, don't say the poor, because you always have the poor and you can make good for the poor any time. But you don't always have me. This means that when you spend time in praying or loving God, this time is more precious, even much more than the time you give in serving the poor. And also, whatever expression of love you present to the Lord Christ, is accepted by him, even if people do not appreciate this expression. Sometimes people cannot understand why some people spend the whole night praying. Many may say bad words about those who leave everything and go to spend their life in the monastic life. But you know, this kind of pouring the fragrance, the costly oil on the head of Christ, is just an expression of love which always be appreciated by the Lord himself, not by the people. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish you may do them good. This is another commandment, that you always have the chance to serve the poor. And serving the poor is always accepted by God. But you do not always have this gift or grace of God to pray from your heart, to enjoy the presence of God. So put this prior to any other service. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Now, the Lord added two important points. The first one, she has done what she could. Actually, Christ evaluates each action according not only to the love in the heart of the guy who served or who offered this offering, but also what can he do. Because sometimes people cannot do much. Some old people cannot go serving. Some young people do not have the talents of serving. But the heart may speak out loudly the love for Christ. She had done what she could. She couldn't go to preach the word like the apostles. She couldn't do many things, but she could do this. She could pour her costly oil on his head. Also, another point, she has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Now it's like a prophecy. Christ is saying that very soon he will be dead. Very soon he will be buried in the tomb. And they will not have enough time to cover his body with the fragrance. So this woman started this action of putting the oil on his body, anointing his body. So he gave her the chance to anoint his body as one of his very nearby relatives to him. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Although we do not know the name of this woman, but you know, all generations knew this story. So this woman and other women who love Christ from their heart, and they offered him their love honestly in whatever way, will be accepted by him and will be gifted or evaluated at those who shared in the anointment of his body during the act of his burial. That's why, by the way, we used to pray this passage when we pray on any woman body in the funeral. Actually, we used to read and pray this passage to say, this mother, this woman who finished her mission in life, she, as this woman, poured her costly oil on the head of the Master. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray him to them. In the same minute, with this woman giving all her love in this way, at such time, Judas the Iscariot started to betray the Lord. He couldn't love him anymore. He loved the money much more than loving his Lord. So he went to betray his master, and thinking of money, he forgot all the days, all the good days he spent with the Lord Christ. One of the 12 went to the chief priest to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. So if you put the two stories together, you can see how much this woman paid just to please Christ in few minutes. She gave him all her love in this flask of the costly oil. But for Judas, he betrayed him for much less money than the money given by this woman. And also, putting the two stories together, you can see that some of the lost people will be in front in the start, and those who stand in the front and believe that they are people of God may be the least and the last on the day of judgment. Now, on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" As we mentioned before, the day of the Passover, by killing the lamb, starting the days of the feast, and the next day will be the day of unleavened bread. And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" Because Christ knew all the hearts, he could see that the heart of Saint Mark, our great apostle, was preparing and praying that Christ may choose his guest room to make this feast in his house. So, knowing his heart, the Lord sent two disciples and let them follow this man and asked him, "Where do you want me to make the Passover?" This means that Christ can read the words of the heart silently and can touch all the requests of the simple people who just wish, and your wishes, like prayers, will be gifted. Glory to God. Amen.